I mentioned this in Sunday school, but Tom Perry called me up in the morning. Pastor, you watching the news? Then a little while, where'd Mel go? Oh, Mel texts me. Dad, you watching the news? And actually, I don't get all those news channels, so I wasn't watching. And I had kind of forgot that the president. But, you know, it was getting interesting. They were talking about signing a peace treaty with the Middle East over there. And I'm like, well, and I was looking. I kept looking up and listening for a trumpet. Nothing happened. But, you know, it is signs of the times. And one day we'll say goodbye, world, goodbye. Amen. And that is going to be a good day. And some days it feels like it'd be better if it was sooner than later. You know that? But that was a blessing. Thank you so much, choir. Well, let me read one verse of Scripture tonight. This is an unusual way for me to teach a lesson. I'll read one verse of Scripture, and then I'll quote a few, and that'll be it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 5. The Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And then it says this, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, our thought life is critical to anything that we do in life. It's what we think. At work, I would walk around the mill, and because you'd have to go to the lab or you have to do that. But anyway, you'd hear people saying, I hate my job. I hate my job. I can't stand my job. I felt like telling them, go find one you like. If you hate it so much, why don't you just leave? But it's like, here you're going to train this guy. I remember one time I trained a guy. Well, there was actually two. But one guy I trained for 4 hours. And I gave him some money to go get us a cup of coffee. I never saw my coffee and I never saw him again. He went down to the coffee and he left 4 hours. Then another guy was working with me. And listen, the first day on the job, I let him skate through. Just follow me around and watch what I do. So this guy's following me around and it gets about 2:30 and I worked 7 to 7. I loved working 12-hour days. I know a lot of people can't stay. I just loved it. But then you got these guys, because then you get 3 or 4 days off. I mean, it was nice. So then these other guys, he got out at 2:30 because he was training. At 3 o'clock, I mean. So 2:30, he says, I got to go talk to our boss. This was his first day there. I said, what do you got to go talk to the boss about? It's your first day here. He said, oh, this job isn't for me. I can't do this job. I said, how do you know you can't do this job? You've been here one day. Oh, no, following you around, seeing everything you do, I can't do this job. Quite honestly, it wasn't that bad of a job. It wasn't all that difficult. You learn it and you just do it. But when they walk around with this attitude, I can't, it can't. Sometimes when kids get their schoolwork, oh, it's too hard, I can't do it, I can't do it. And the bottom line is this, bad attitudes can defeat us. Rotten attitudes can defeat us. Sometimes you parents tell your children this, you need an attitude adjustment. And the truth of the matter is sometimes the young people need an attitude adjustment. And then sometimes God says to the adults, you need an attitude adjustment. And God is right sometimes when he says, you need an attitude adjustment. Just like you're right when the kids do, God says the same thing to us. So I hope to try to help you adjust your attitude tonight. And there are some bad attitudes that can defeat us in evangelism, and there's some bad attitudes that can defeat us in soul winning as well. We need to think right before we will ever really do right. You got to think right. Now, these attitudes can make a huge difference if we'll between what we'll call between being duty-driven and love-compelled. Your attitude will make all the difference. Our attitude determines our manner, our thinking, and our acting. So with wrong attitudes, they can either defeat and discourage. We can even defeat and discourage our own self because we are the one that has the wrong attitude. Now, I want to give you a few attitudes that defeat evangelism and soul winning, and then when I'm done, you can decide whether or not you need an attitude adjustment or not, okay? The first one is this, the attitude of feeling incompetent. Some Christians take this pessimistic attitude of feeling they're inadequate because of a lack of education. You know, you don't need to go to college to learn how to evangelize. Now I'm going to share something with you. Some of the lessons that I've been teaching are lessons that I got when I was in college, 30. I graduated in 87. Somebody do the math. That's how long ago it was. Right? These are college lessons that you're getting. So now you can throw that excuse away because that's exactly what where these came from. Is Bill's got a book. I got the same book. What's the name of that book? Drawing the Net. Forgot the name of the book. And Drawing the Net, and they're written by Buddy Murphy. And there's some of them in there you wouldn't use. They're kind of loony. But the fact of the matter is most of them are really good. And so now you can't even say that you're not getting what we would get when we were in college because you are getting what we were in college. Okay, so throw that excuse away. But you don't really need to go to college to learn how to evangelize. You can witness. I reminded us a couple of weeks ago that every time we go out evangelizing, we're not alone. God is with us in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Some people to think, I can't. Let me ask you a question. Why not? Why can't you? To think this, I don't know how. Ready? Learn. Just learn. I'm too ignorant. No, you're not. What are you gonna, you're going to stand at the Bema seat one day and the Lord's going to say, how come you never witnessed anybody? I was just wondering about that. He already knows, okay, but pretend. Why didn't you ever witness anybody? Well, I was just too ignorant. Now, how do you think that's going to sound before the Lord? That's not going to hold much. It's true that we are incompetent in ourselves. I'll give you that. But the Holy Spirit of God is with us. But we, the Bible says this, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I like to say every once in a while, or think every once in a while, I can, I will, and I must. So I'm just going to do it. So it's the voice of the devil who tries to stop us with this idea and this attitude that, well, I just can't do it. I'm just incompetent. I'm just never going to work. You know what? It's one thing to feel humble. But don't confuse humility with pessimism. That's the attitude, I can't. And you're pessimistic why you can't ever go out. Maybe that's you. Maybe you just need to take a 3x5 card and put Philippians 4:13 on there and just memorize it and say it to yourself over and over and over again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Never mind, I can't. Get that out of your vocab and start saying, I can't. That's a bad attitude, this attitude of I feel incompetent. Here's the second one. I don't feel led to go. I don't feel led. You don't need to feel led. Why is that? Because you're commanded to go. You don't need to feel led to go. Feeling is irrelevant when we're commanded. Let me ask you something. Do you always feel like going? Do you ever feel led to go to work every time you go to work? Well, you ever call your boss? Okay, I'm being a little bit sarcastic. You ever call your boss and say, you know, I got up this morning and I prayed about coming to work today. I just don't feel led to go to work. How about the young people when they get up in the morning and go to school? Mom, I'm just not going to go to school today. Why not? I just don't feel led to go. Maybe some of them will go home and try that and see how that works, young people. But the fact of the matter is, you don't need to feel led. Let me ask you this. Do you feel led when it comes time to pay your bills? Or do you just do it? Well, you just do it. We brush our teeth, I hope, whether we feel led to do it or not. There's just some things you don't worry about being fed led, feeling led to. There's times, I'll be honest, when I'm tired and I feel led not to brush my teeth, okay? I just don't feel like it. But it's probably a good idea that I do it anyway, right? Now, you may not have a feeling or to be led, but you go anyway. People are perishing all around us. We go anyway. Don't wait for some magical feeling like I'm led to go. Thirdly, well, Pastor, I just don't think it's all that important. It's good, but I've got other things to do. And in fact, sometimes that is true. There are times when we all have other things to do. Life happens. But it is not always true. You don't have something to do every time we have an evangelism blitz. You don't have things going. You know what? You know in advance when they're coming. You could schedule your schedule around those times. I've always tried to do that. But, you know, every once in a while, life happens. And I get that. But it doesn't happen all the time. We can go. Every Saturday, you're not busy all the time. Every Saturday. I mean, you might be busy sometimes, but not every Saturday. The fact of the matter is, it is important. And to think that it's good, but, you know, just other things to do. We treat evangelism and soul winning like somebody said, an alley cat. You know what an alley cat gets? An alley cat gets the leftovers. And sometimes people's evangelism work and their soul winning efforts, it gets the leftovers, if there is any leftover. It was important enough for Jesus to come to the earth and to die on the cross, and it ought to be important enough for us to give a little bit of time doing it. And you work with people, you can witness, You can share your testimony. You can give a gospel tract anywhere, anytime, any place. Jesus came, he left heaven to seek and to save that which was lost. That's how important it was. Fourthly, somebody have the attitude that, well, it's a special talent. I don't have the gift to gab. Actually, I've watched most of you around the church, and I'm determined that most of you do have the gift of gab, okay, whether you want to admit it or not. Or evangelism is just for a certain group of Christians who have that special talent. And then some people would say this, that's not my calling. Soul winning isn't a calling. Evangelism is not necessarily a talent. It's not even really the gift of gab, although some people do have the gift of evangelism. It's not really a call for certain buddy. It's about everybody obeying and a command to go, all of us. The fifth attitude is this. It doesn't do any good to go anyway. You know, I have had pastors that I know tell me that. We've knocked every door in our town. It's just not worth going. Well, that's a bad attitude. He won't listen to me. It's a waste of my time. They don't ever listen to me. You know what? Even if people don't listen, it's still worth it. You may be one in a series of witnessing chances that point somebody to Christ. Or maybe you'll say something, who knows what, that will stir something inside them. Anything done in Jesus' name according to the Word of God is always worth it. Don't walk around here, please, and say, you know what, these guys go soul winning and they go door knocking. I just don't think it's worth it. Just don't say that, please. Plus, I think God blesses faithfulness. Now, here's what I mean by that. We go out and we do some evangelism work. And I've had some terrific visits with some people the last couple of weeks, I'll be honest with you. But let's pretend I go door knocking and I have all bad visits. Nobody's home. You know, I got kicked off a porch two or three times. A dog chased me away. I mean, it's just a bad day. I've never had all that happen in one day, okay, just in case you're getting nervous. But I think God sends other people anyway. You know why? God blesses faithfulness. God blesses us when we do the right thing. That's true in the church. That's true in your home. He just does. We say it like this. That's just a God thing. God just does it. Number six, an attitude against soul winning. It is just a hard, gruesome job. Only if you think it is. That's just kind of like where you work. It's really only a hard, gruesome job if you think it is. Dr. R.G. Lee was the pastor before, who's my favorite preacher? He's on radio. He pastors Bellevue Baptist Church. Adrian Rogers. Couldn't think of his name. But he pastored Bellevue Baptist Church before Adrian Rogers, R.G. Lee said. And he said this. He said, look on soul winning as a blessing, not an incidental matter. As work, not play. As time well spent, not wasted, and as a privilege and not a burdensome duty. It is a privilege to serve Jesus. It is a privilege to knock on other people's doors and tell people about Jesus. Studies show if you're told this is hard over and over, or if you say this is hard, you know what you're going to do? You're going to believe it. You're going to believe it's hard. On the other hand, if you say this isn't that difficult, it's not so hard. It's not so bad. Your attitude will change. You know, there's been schools that have done studies on this. They've done a study where they'll give a group of kids a test and say, now, this is a hard test. You better study. This test is very difficult. It is really hard. And the kids' grades go down. Another group of kids, same kind of kids, same exact test. They walk in and they say, you know what, guys, this test really isn't that hard. It's not that difficult. You're going to be fine. Do your study and you'll be okay. And you know their grades are higher. Why? What made the difference? Their attitude made the difference. So be careful of that. Seventhly, the attitude that it's no use trying to win anybody unless the Holy Spirit is drawing them. So I have a question. How do you know if the Holy Spirit's drawing them or not? You don't know that. And while the Holy Spirit does do the drawing, and we know that, we may be the means that it turns on the switch of the Holy Spirit. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you might be the first person to give somebody the Word of God. And he may be drawing, but you don't know that. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw how many men unto me? All men. You know, you can't say he's not working. We are to lift up Jesus, and if we do that, he'll draw all men to him. It may be their first exposure to the gospel message. They maybe have never heard anything like that before. You just don't know. A guy came here once for one of our services. He visited one time. I don't even know what he preached on. I don't even know what he said. A few years later, this is all according to him, because I got to be honest, I don't even remember seeing him in a church service. But he said he came and he said God called him to preach. And then a few years later, he came back and he told me all about that stuff. And now he says, I'm a pastor in Florida. And I can't, he was a big, tall guy, I know that, but I can't remember his name. And honestly, I didn't even remember him being here. But evidently, God took whatever it was that I said, I have absolutely no idea, and it prompted something in his heart, and he felt called to preach, and he surrendered to go to Florida and start a church. And he's pastoring that church. Now, you don't know what God may use. You don't know how God will use you. You don't know if the Spirit of God is drawing somebody. Maybe a person is in a rough part of their life. You know, often God uses that to draw the lost or people like Jonah to get their life right with the Lord. You can't use that as an excuse. You can't say it's never useless. You wait for him to draw, but maybe he's waiting for you to share the gospel to start that drawing process. So don't use that one. Here's another attitude. The attitude that a sinner needs a Pauline experience. Boy, and people say this stuff, but they say, oh man, I witnessed to this guy, the tears were coming down his face and he was sobbing and bawling. And you know what? I've seen people like that. And after they got done praying about 3 months later, I said, they didn't get it. I don't think they did get saved. No, but they had tears. So? I mean, I'm not trying to make light of it. I like to see it too, okay? That doesn't mean anything. If they cry or shout or whatever, it may be nice, but it's not necessary. I remember the day Jenny, my sister that got saved, I think she got saved. I was first. I think she was second. My brother was third. But anyway, she came down the aisle one invitation at a church service. She goes, I'd like somebody to show me how to be saved. So we did. No emotion whatsoever. In fact, the person that dealt with her, another lady, said, she prayed to get saved, but I really don't think she got saved. Why is that? Well, she didn't have any emotion at all. I said, well, that's kind of a bummer that you don't think that. Anyway, you know what? She got saved. She lived for the Lord ever since. Ever since. The fruit came out in her life, but there was zero emotion. I mean, zero. People do not need to have a Pauline experience. Some people are more emotional than others by nature. But we shouldn't go by this emotion thing. Salvation is by faith. Salvation is not by feeling. It's by faith. So I don't think you can witness to the wrong person, even if they go against you because they are really rejecting God and not you. And when you have a compassion and a love, it certainly helps. It has to help, and it never hurts. Very few people, if any people, have a real Pauline experience. Now, let me give you four fears that I want to mention tonight, and I think I'll deal with them a little bit next week, Lord willing. Pastor, what if I arouse resentment in them? Well, try to be harmless as a dove. But I will tell you something. The truth offends some people. It just does. So you give them the truth. You try to be as loving and unoffensive as you can. But we've watched Paul in the book of Acts in Sunday school the last several weeks. And I want to tell you something. He was in jail. He was beaten. He's, you know, again, and caused a riot here and caused a riot there. And all of this stuff. Paul never did anything wrong. But he was resented by the Jews. The fact of the matter is, you can't fear that. And secondly, we have a survey, if you want to do it now, that the people that have tried it, a few of us, nobody's been offended by it. Matt, have you seen anybody offended by it? Josh, have you seen anybody? I haven't. I've used it. I don't know who else has used it, but I know these three have. And it didn't bother anybody. In fact, they all will stand there and answer the questions. It only takes them about a minute to a minute and a half. And if they want to talk more, they will. And if they don't, you say, why, thank you. You have a nice day. And then you let us know if they're interested or not. You can't worry about this fear of resentment. Truth offends people. They put Jesus on a cross. They were offended at his teaching. Another one is the fear of turning the conversation to the spiritual. Oh, what are they going to think about me if I start talking about God and sin and heaven and holiness and righteousness? What are they going to think? Well, I don't know. Just turn the conversation and find out. Maybe they'll say, I'm not interested. And if they're not interested, they're not interested, right? Don't be afraid to turn that. I'll try to help you with that too. Fear of not knowing what to say or how to present Christ. I said this earlier, I'll say it again. You can learn how to present Christ. All of us can learn that. The fourth fear is fear of not knowing ultimately how to draw the book I mentioned, how to draw the net and have somebody bow their head and pray and ask Jesus to save them right there on the spot. Some of people just are fearful to do that. So I'll begin to deal with those things. Now let me ask you this question. How is your attitude in regards to evangelism and soul winning? How is it? I'll go back to where I started. Do you need an attitude adjustment? I mean, does God need to change your attitude about it? Just like when you tell your kids you need an attitude adjustment, maybe God's saying to you tonight, you know, in this area, you need an attitude adjustment. You need to see the importance of it. You need to see the value of it. You need to realize that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, and we are his instruments to get the gospel out there in our community. That's our job. So let's bow for prayer. Father, if we are one of those who need an attitude adjustment, I pray with your help, the Spirit of God's help, that we will make the proper attitude adjustment so that we will be unashamed of the gospel of Christ, as Paul said, and certainly we've watched Paul's life and he wasn't. And Lord, that we would be more than willing to open our mouth and just tell people about Christ humbly, softly, gently, tenderly, lovingly, yes, full of compassion, obviously. But Father, I just pray that you'd break our hearts for the lost and change our attitude if it needs to be so that we will get out there and by your help and through your power and through your strength, we will evangelize and reach the lost in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, ushers, if you'll come, we want to receive an offering, not tonight, but we want to receive an offering tonight.